We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sake.
Middays on the Score.
We have another list of names as we work toward the greatest bear of all time, as determined at ChicagoBears.com by Hall of Fame football writers Dan Pompey and Don Pearson. When we last left you, we were at number 51.
Yes, this tranche has been long awaited. Dan came into the office this morning expectant, ready for history to be made. It was walked into the studio not moments ago by Jay Zawoski as though they were carved in stone, as though they were the commandments themselves, walking into the studio with all kinds of import and meaning. It's been quite a thing to have this list all the way up to 100 delivered the way it has been.
This list takes us from number 50 to number 26.
Holy ground. Holy ground. We're on our way to holy ground is where we're at.
The number of the counting shall be 100. Number 50 in the history of the Chicago Bears. He is on the poster of the Black and Blues Brothers. He is Mark Bortz.
Your guy.
He is wearing sunglasses.
There you go.
That was your favorite?
No, not really.
Favorite poster, I meant.
Wasn't that one of my favorite posters? That's the one where I had the pleasure of having Tom Thayer sit next to me at TJ Donlan's and go over that poster and tell some embarrassing story about every single person in that poster.
49 is Ray Bray.
Who the hell is
48 is Fred Williams. We get to number 47. It's Dave Duerson.
There you go. I don't know Ray Bray or Fred Williams.
No.
Great, great guys. Never met him. And Dave Duerson is indeed 47th. And there,
yeah, give your man some
at
love.
46. We got a run of linebackers coming up here. Number 46 is Doug Buffone.
A unanimous vote, 35-2.
Congratulations, Doug. Love you.
That's super cool.
Miss you dearly. We have some possible controversy here that could be in the next three, because 45th best player in the history of the Bears is deemed to be Otis Wilson.
And you'd have him higher?
Not necessarily. It's the controversy will reign in moments. However,
yeah.
Otis Wilson, number 45. 44th record-setting wide receiver and longtime Chicago sports broadcaster Johnny Morris. Johnny Morris is number 44. And the juxtaposition of another linebacker is interesting here. 43rd is Wilbur Marshall.
Yeah, I mean, the whole position is absolutely loaded for this team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole
but
linebacker
these are outside
legacy.
Linebacker. We haven't even gotten into the middle linebacker discussion
yet. No, not even close.
Wilbur Marshall, who, of course, left in free agency famously to join Washington. But Wilbur Marshall deemed a better Bear than Otis Wilson.
84 to 87, just three seasons.
Short runs, high impact.
It's the short run part of this list.
Spectacular plays.
As irpy as anything else about this top 100, though I love that we've got it and that we're doing it. I mean, Khalil Mack at 60, and you had Eddie Jackson at 97, 96. There's some really short runs with Bears careers.
The 42nd best Bear, Richie Pettibone.
Nice to see number 41, though.
Richie Pettibone, of course, a great safety. Number 41, Neil Anderson.
Yeah, that's gets his due.
Well-deserved, and for those of us who remember when he was drafted and he was a special teams gunner, even played fullback in deference to Walter Payton before he took over as a passing, running, multiple offensive threat. 40th is Ken Kavanaugh.
Okay.
That one I don't know much about.
Ken Kavanaugh played from 40 to 41, took a little break, probably fought a war, and then 45 to 50.
Wait!
Number 39, famous in score lore, wide receiver Harlan Hill. And why is he famous? You should know if you are a student of WSCR history. Many years ago, Mike Murphy was interviewing Harlan Hill, and his producer typed into the screen that in whatever given year it was, that Harlan Hill was a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Murphy took that to mean Harlan Hill that season was a professional bowler. And followed up with him, saying, "I heard you work. So you did some bowling. You worked the side circuit." And then Harlan Hill said, "No, I made the Pro Bowl. I wasn't a professional bowler."
Good to know.
And then, of course, Mike Murphy summarily screamed at the producer for the remainder of the show and took it out on him because it was the producer's fault, for not distinguishing a professional bowler from someone who had played in the Pro Bowls. That's what Harlan Hill will always mean to me more than anything he accomplished on the gridiron as a Bear.
Going through the list, the top 100 players in Bears history, as given out by the Chicago Bears, were at 50 through 26. Harlan Hill at 39. 38, Link Lyman, who played from 26 to 28, 30 to 31, and then 33 to 34. He's got one of the old school leather helmets on in the photo. I don't recognize the Bears uniform. I mean, that's a different look altogether.
By the way, does this music bring you back to a lost year of your collegiate life?
Yes, really. This music might be my only memory of freshman year of college. That and really cheap beer. We figured we need a little, something to really bring the gravity to the list. This is where 37 is an interesting selection because it means, right, that we're only considering the player.
Correct.
And not necessarily his impact on the franchise,
founder,
and,
coach,
the league,
owner, general manager. This is strictly as a player. Number 37 is George Halas.
I'd have been fine if you put him top 10. I really would have. Like, if you're gonna do these sliding moves where Jay Cutler's 85 and 53, right, was Jim McMahon. If you're gonna do that kind of stuff, which I understand. Go ahead and throw George Halas into the top 10 and bump Brian Urlacher down to 11 and make people happy. I'm fine.
And what is George Halas' connection to baseball history?
Is it not the Yankees?
Yep.
Is it the Yankees?
I believe he was replaced by Joe DiMaggio.
Oh.
Wasn't he?
Well, then.
There was some positional connection to DiMaggio, but yeah, he was a Yankee. Number 36, and I guess I'll have to take their word for it, one of the most famous Bears, Red Grange.
Yep.
Red Grange is number 36.
I thought it was Babe Ruth that replaced him.
It was Babe Ruth?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, think about how
old. Oh, the timing. Right. The timer. Yeah, that's who it was. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Where are we as far as player hall? Is Red Grange our first player Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Believe he is. Yep.
I think so. I think that is the first Bears Hall of Famer who is a Hall of Famer as a player whose name has been read on this list.
By the time Khalil Mack, who was number 60, gets into the Hall of Fame,
Julius
he'll have moved up, and Julius Peppers is the same at 59.
I'm talking about people who are already enshrined.
Mm-hmm.
Red Grange is at 36. Number 35 is George Musso.
Yeah, I got nothing.
George Musso is, and I remind me if he's
a guard, played from 33 to 44.
Is he the father of Johnny Musso?
I don't know.
And then the kid played at Northwestern. Johnny's kid was at Northwestern, right? The same family?
I'll look it up.
Yeah, check on that. Number 30. This is kind of cute here. Number 34, which carries special significance to the Bears. Number 34 on this list, the 34th best Bear, Matt Forte.
I like it.
Feels right, doesn't it?
In looking back, doing all that work, like going back through Matt Forte's career and watching him be a broadcaster now too, all I think about, and you've mentioned it a number of times, is how perfect Matt Forte would be in Matt Nagy's offense.
Yep.
Just.
Yes, he would.
That'd be great. Do that.
33rd is George Trafton.
Of course.
Congratulations.
Of course.
George.
What's up, man?
Trafton.
We did it.
You fired up? Well, no, I'm dead.
Very.
I don't know if he's dead or not. I assume he's dead. Is he dead?
George Trafton played from 20 down. To 32.
Hello, George. Yeah. If he's not dead, he's very, very quiet. And he certainly slowed up a lot. Number 32 is a name I know, but I only know the name. I can't tell you what he did. Patty Driscoll.
It's a lovely name.
played in 1920 and then 26 to 29.
Okay.
I think this is an etching, not a photograph of the man.
The daguerreotype?
I think so.
Sepia-toned Patty Driscoll. Number 31 on the all-time Bears list. Charles Peanut Tillman.
I saw him in an advertisement just this morning. Stopped at Protein Bar on my way here. Get a little shake. Charles Tillman.
Did you get your CBD oil pitching in it?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to spend the $3 and then be here with no effect going on. But there he is. He's everywhere now. And an FBI agent and everything. This is super cool.
Texter's really angry here. Great job of researching these players before reading the list.
We just got the list.
And we don't want to research the players because we don't. It's more fun.
We're supposed to research a list that they're just releasing like this morning.
It the Tony Gill philosophy.
Yeah, right. I mean, right. I don't know what a pierogi is, and I don't know about room temperature. So Charles Tillman's number 31. I think he should be higher. I think he was a game changer. I think he, considering what was asked of him, what his job was as a cover two corner, is one of the greatest pure cover two corners ever to play in the NFL.
He'll exist in arguments about the Hall of Fame for a while.
Indeed.
Because a lot of guys on this list, because of that defense, that Lovie Smith defense, and the way they played it, you had pioneers doing things, you know, the different positional asks, and these guys did it better than anybody else.
By the way, the picture that comes up of George Trafton.
It's a shirtless selfie, is what it is.
What is he doing?
Apparently,
is
he was a
different.
He was a boxer as well.
Oh, that's why he's got no shirt on.
He was a heavyweight boxer.
Okay, I thought he played football with no shirt on.
Nope, they don't have a weight listed. He was 6'2", looks like a hefty fella.
Yeah.
4 KOs. One TKO, 5 bouts in total.
He fought Primo Carnera.
I guess.
He lost
his
lone loss. He was knocked out by Primo Carnera in 1930. Well, there you have it. That's George Trafton. So, Gary Fensick's 30th. Gary Fensick, longtime friend of the station. Wonderful guy, terrific player. I think the argument between Fensick and Tillman is a good one. Number 29, who held most of the team's rushing records before Walter Payton broke them, Rick Caceres.
55 to 64, number 28 on the list, who spent a lot of time on this show.
Number 28 is our friend Lance Briggs.
It's another guy. I mean, Brian Urlacher there at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony talked about Lance needing to be in the Hall of Fame for doing what he did, the way he did it in that defense.
Yeah, but look how much higher. Look at the separation. Lance Briggs is 28.
Mm-hmm.
Wilbur Marshall, 43rd. Mm-hmm. Otis Wilson, 45. Doug Buffone, 46. That is a real statement to elevate Lance Briggs above that group of Bears, isn't it?
Yeah, especially with the longevity issues between, or in
Correct.
The middle, rather, with Marshall, with Otis, and then you've got Doug, who played, you know, forever. Same thing with Lance. It's a long career, and yet they're valuing some of the shorter bursts a little bit higher.
And by the way, tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking with former Bear Thomas Jones.
Excellent.
I don't think he's on the list.
Probably. I mean, we've already gotten him at Forte at 34, so no, probably.
Yeah, and Rick Caceres, 29.
I don't think Tom
may. I don't think so, but we'll talk to him about it in his time as a Bear. Just talk some football and acting with him. Hollywood handsome, Hollywood star, Hollywood hunk. Briggs is 28th. Number 27. Olin Krutz. That feels right.
That means both of the Bears pre- and post-game show here on the Score.
That's right.
Are in the top 100.
Everybody accounted for. Big Cat.
Everybody.
Olin. Manley. Got them all involved. So Olin, that also means that Jay Hilgenberg is going to be in the top 25 for sure.
Absolutely.
And Jay Hilgenberg is going to be your highest ranked center. Number 26, Ed Healy.
Ed Healy played from 22 to 27. He's a tackle. Pretty good list, 26 to 50.
All right, so what you can do now, I believe, in one form or another, is right out the top. We know who the top 25 are.
Yeah.
We have, by process of elimination, determined the top 25 Bears.
I think that's our homework. That's our homework for tomorrow, is that we've got to get the top 25 done before the Bears can list it out and see how close we get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it right now in no particular order.
Okay.
Because I think you and I can do it during this break.
That's probably true.
Would be my guess.
I mean,
right?
We've got 5 minutes to sit down and then talk baseball with Brian Kenny on the other side. It seems like that's enough time.
The segment brought to you by the Chicago Bears. See past, meet present at Bears 100 Celebration Weekend, June 7th through the 9th in Rosemont. Don't miss out on players like Tariq Cohen, Kyle Long, Eddie Jackson, and more on stage with your favorite Bears alumni. Free autographs, photo ops, one-of-a-kind panels. Bears 100 Celebration Weekend is the place to be June 7th through 9th. Visit ChicagoBears.com for tickets. A lot to do, including Brian Kenny. When we come back, we are going to give away a golf foursome at Grand Geneva Resort and Spa. So don't go anywhere. You might be able to play the Brute or the Highlands with three of your friends. Visit GrandGenevaGolf.com. That's straight ahead on The Score. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves and San Diego are tied one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. For playoff and ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. I don't know that we've done as good a job as I thought of putting together the final top 25
we didn't.
Here.
No, we didn't.
Help us out here. So, in no particular order, I'm not doing this in any order. I got a bunch of question marks here. But the ones that would seem to be for sure, right?
Yeah.
So just, you know, check me here. Peyton, Butkus, Ditka.
Yeah.
Bill George, Brian Urlacher, Gale Sayers, Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, Doug Atkins, Bronco Nagurski, Jim Covert, Devin Hester, Jay Hilgenberg.
Sure.
Mike Singletary, mm-hmm. Sid Luckman.
Right.
Steve McMichael. Okay. That's only 15. So there's 10 others.
Right.
And then I put Fridge with a question mark.
Yeah, that's a question mark. Bulldog Turner has his number retired by the Bears. That 66 hangs in the rafters.
Yeah,
or Raptors. I apologize.
Oh, there you
sorry.
Go.
I'm
it
sorry.
Hangs in
correction.
The Raptors.
Check that. We hang numbers in the Raptors here at 670 The Score. That's what we do. Bill Hewitt has his number 56 with the Raptors.
And George McAfee is a Hall of Famer as well.
So you would imagine he's on the list. Now, the question is, the other number that is raptorized here is 41 for Brian Piccolo.
But Brian Piccolo is not one of the best players in the history of the Bears.
The number has been raptorized.
So what?
It hangs in the Raptors.
I know it hangs in the Raptors, but that's because of extenuating circumstances.
They had Jay Cutler 85th. There are apparently special circumstances. Khalil Mack is 60. I bet Brian Piccolo is in the top 25.
For everybody texting Lance Briggs, he's 28th.
Yeah, we got Lance.
We got him.
Did him today.
We actually have some overall breaking news from Bears OTAs.
Ooh, what?
Our own Chris Emma tweets, the Bears have switched everybody's favorite running back, Taequann Mizell, to wide receiver, and Bradley Soule from tackle to tight end.
Ooh, cool.
Okay, the second part's great.
Hold on, just for today, or they've switched their positions?
There's a period after, it says that after, it just says tight end, period.
I would like them to switch Taequann Mizell to off the team.
Well, I mean, if he's trying to make it as a wide receiver with this group, it might as well.
That's not happening.
Right, so Taequann Mizell's probably done if they're trying him at wide receiver. Bradley Soule.
As tight end.
With his terrific hands.
I wonder how much weight he dropped.
Also, what does that tell you about Adam Shaheen?
That he doesn't move the way they like
him to move, right?
That his choices of trying to dead leg Maddox, right? Avante Maddox in a playoff.
Good
that was,
memory.
Was a poor decision. It was a poor, maybe just run him over if he's 5'6" and 130 pounds and you're much, much bigger than that. I think probably those choices are coming into question.
So do you guys not want to go over and try and guess the on grobbernet.com, the 25 worst Bears of
no,
all time, according
I
to
do
Les's
not.
Callers?
I do not. And by the way, people, for all the texters, keep up with us. We just talked about Wilbur Marshall. Willie Gault was 83rd. Stop texting guys in who were already mentioned on the list.
He's losing his mind.
You also realize people don't listen to
you
all day, right?
You have a phone. Just look. And you have the name in your head. Why don't you look? You're the same phone that you are using to text the name of a player that was already accounted for on the list. That same phone has the full conglomeration of earthly intelligence of humankind on it.
Right, for so everyone texting
Mavernet.com.
Right,
and check
right.
Out
yeah, do that.
25, bottom 25 Bears of all time, including Cedric Benson, Cody Parkey without the E, Rashawn Salaam, which was shockingly spelled properly.
What? How?
Wait, those aren't bad. I mean, how many?
Those are just disliked.
This is less as callers choosing.
So disliked.
That's your least favorite or most disappointing. It's not the worst.
For everyone texting in, Matt Forte text the contest line instead.
Here's a name, Ed Sprinkle. Ed Sprinkle, he of the cold shoulder delivery.
Ed Sprinkle?
Yeah, good.
All right.
Look up some highlights on Ed.
Google some Ed Sprinkle.
Ed would knock your ass
Sprinkle
out.
Sprinkle spelled the way you think
yeah.
or not?
Yep.
Ed Sprinkle.
Yes, careful. You might want to do an incognito window there.
Yeah, I think Mitch is going to call about that. Oh, look at that! There's film.
Oh yeah, no, he would knock you out. So that's not a
yeah,
bad name.
All right, well, we got 17 of the 25 we promised to have gotten for the top 20.
Can
we
I give
more
you my favorite
there.
Off the Grobbernet.com list?
Of course you can.
Number 7, Stab Thomas.
Not Stan.
Stab.
Yes, yeah, Stan got shot. Stab got stabbed.
Too stabby.
Right?
Sorry, couldn't make the list.
Well. No, Josh McCown is not on the list. Stop it.
Why wouldn't he be?
Stop.
Why wouldn't he be on the list?
Yes, and again, the Woes texting Mike Brown and Robbie Gold, they're all already taken care of. It's got to be super old guys, right?
Well, no, I'm telling you, Brian Piccolo will be in a top 25.
That's wrong.
I can't help you there.
Give me a number.
He's in the top 25.
Between 1 and 9.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Caller 7 to the contest line. The contest line.
It's got to be the contest line.
312-591-6700. That is the contest line. And if you are caller, would you say 7?
Yeah, 7.
Foursome of golf at the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva. You can play the Brute. You can play the Highlands Championship Golf Course. Visit GrandGenevaGolf.com.
Is Brandon Marshall on the list?
Yes. He's already been on the
list. We did Brandon Marshall?
We did.
Oh,
yep.
Thank God.
Come
I didn't want to
Connor.
Wait on
Connor. You
keep
paying attention to this all the time.
Where
keep
was
up.
Willie Gault? He should have been on the list. He was 84.
Anthony Thomas being suggested. Greg Olson being. There's no way Anthony Thomas could be ahead of Rick Caceres.
Caleb Haney is on Les's list as well.
So the misspellings make it a parody of a Grobstein listener
Stab
list,
Thomas.
Right?
Thomas.
That's awesome.
Oh, Stab Thomas. What a player.
Yeah, terrific player.
Absolute
Stab
player.
Let's talk a little baseball, shall we?
I'm in.
Brian Kenny of MLB Network is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. This is usually the portion of the guest introduction when I give out the Twitter handle, but he's not on Twitter anymore. What the hell? Why? What's going on, Brian?
Because life is more important than that.
We know it is, but we're
so
not allowed.
True.
We have to be a slave to it. How can you of you know be more empowered than the rest of us?
It's just a personal choice, and I chose to not swim in the sewer anymore.
Good for you.
Probably the right choice.
Seriously, honestly, a lot of me is genuinely envious of your decision to do that.
You know, it's funny. Everybody says that. Everybody says that, and yet everybody says, oh, I got to do it. Like, there isn't one media person that said, no, you really shouldn't. No, it's really fun, and you should stay on it. No, nobody says that.
No, good
yet,
for
why
you.
Why do we do it?
Good for you. You're a pioneer doing good things, living the life the right way. So this has been a very interesting baseball season to this point. We just saw the Baltimore Orioles set the all-time record for, I think, the first team to give up 100 home runs through May. The balls are flying out of parks. There are no triples. There are fewer intentional walks. In general, Brian, are we seeing the evolution of the Major League game, for better or worse, accelerating before our eyes?
Oh, no question. Yeah, and that's the right word. I did an essay on that for MLB Now about 2 weeks ago. And it's not that it's just continuing or it's continuing on the same trajectory. It is accelerating. There's no question. Singles are dead. Triples dead, Now, you know, bunts, intentional walks, all those things are also dying, and that's good. But the ball not being in play is not good. You know, that's not something we want. And, yes, something is going to have to be done. For those who think, oh, the game will just fix itself. No, not at this point. Not like this.
Do you think, Brian, that our projection systems, like Pecota had the Cubs at 79 wins, do you think those need to evolve at the same rate that baseball is going? Was that an issue when we tried, when the systems and algorithms tried to evaluate these teams as we went in this year?
Well, I was puzzled by that too. And again, I don't work for Baseball Prospectus, so I'll let them explain it. But I was puzzled by that because, and I was looking for, look, any system that you build can be beat, right? Like we have a thing called the shredder, and we do top 10 right now. We rank players, you know, position by position in the top 10. And there's ways to beat the system, you know, like, and I won't even let you know, but there's ways to that it can get gimmicked. Maybe the Cubs, just the way their production was last year, the way their starting pitching reflected the production, kind of showed them to be a worse team than they really were. Because I also looked at that. I picked the Cubs to win the division at the beginning of the year. And I just thought that projection system, for some reason, got beat, got fooled, and that's not reflecting their actual production. So I think, like anything else, these projection systems are tools. You know, whether it's, Pitch FX or whether it's Pecota, use it as a tool, but then apply your own brain power to it.
Talking with Brian Kenny of MLB Network. By the way, if you are among the first 21,000 people at Wrigley Field for tomorrow's Cubs game, you will get an MLB Network tote bag, a pretty cool piece of swag for you to enjoy. It's funny, though, Brian, is that we always would talk about the Cubs, you know, 10 years ago and talking about Theo Epstein and the wunderkind who was on to the next best thing and out ahead of everybody as the game changed. And you know what's amazing? As if to point out how rapidly things evolve, the Cubs are remarkably old-fashioned. The Cubs have a starting staff that is an old-fashioned starting staff, expected to maybe get into an order the third time around when the OPS is against jump up. They've got a bullpen that doesn't miss bats. They don't have a high-velocity bullpen. They're old and crafty, so and still winning. But it's just amazing to see how quickly things can shift away from even the forward thinkers.
Oh, there's no question. Oh, but I think, no matter what happens this year and what happens in the next 3 years, you do what makes sense for your club. So if you're going to give me a starting rotation with starting pitchers in their 30s or mid-30s who are excellent, who don't want to start the game in the second or third inning, they don't want an opener, they want to start the game themselves, I'm all for it. I think you do what makes sense. You know, the opener or some quick hook to the bullpen is not some magic potion. It's just an option that was ignored for about a century, you know, and now it's not being ignored, but it doesn't mean you have to follow some new orthodoxy either.
Is there a new school of thought, or have you been swayed at all by something like the Padres are doing, just activating their young players and throwing them into Major League Baseball, maybe before they'd perhaps been deemed ready or ready to start their service clock? I ask because, you know, people want to see Dylan Cease on the south side. People are ready for Luis Robert to have a more aggressive path through the minor leagues. I wonder if what you've seen from prospects in particular or teams' approach to him has changed a perception.
Oh, I think it's just it's the push-pull between service time and when a player is ready. So I think what we've seen is an artificial holding back of blue-chip players. We're not talking about everybody, but there's obviously some stars out there, and whether young or maybe, you know, guys who are drafted out of college, where they're tearing it up in the minors. But if you're mid-season and your team isn't going anywhere, like some maybe Pete Alonso last year, you know, you have a hard time convincing me the Mets wouldn't have been a better club down the stretch with Pete Alonso on the team. Now, they brought him up right away this year, but they didn't want to start his clock last year. So the business of baseball intrudes upon, you know, what would be a normal development path of a player.
It sounds impossible to say that the Yankees are flying under the radar, but what they are doing with what they have has not stopped being tremendous that they keep losing guys to injury. It would be so easy for them to just write off a bit of a slump and say, yeah, look, but we lost all our guys. They don't seem to care. It's like the way the Cardinals used to be in the heyday, where their replacement level guy is better than your replacement level guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're very deep, and yet this is still stunning. Like, if you told me that they'd lose all the players that they had and Aaron Judge, because I thought, no, they can withstand this. They're very deep, and, you know, Hicks is going to be coming back eventually. Sanchez will come back. They'll be fine. Once Aaron Judge went down, I thought, okay, no, you're not going to be fine. Like, that's it. You can't afford to lose that guy, and yet they've still been good. I think, look, Cameron Maybin, you know, Urshela, there's guys who are playing out of their minds right now, and I don't look for that to be a continuing thing. But maybe, just maybe, the front office and the baseball ops people with the Yankees are properly identifying players that you should not have given up on. And their second-tier players are kind of retreads or, you know, guys who have been cut loose. And maybe they are, you know, this is the new age of baseball. They're identifying a certain something that the player does do well and saying, let's build off that. Maybe that's the new way, or maybe it's the magic of the pinstripes. I tend not to believe in magic of pinstripes, mostly.
Do the Astros have a form of magic? We saw Justin Verlander deal against the White Sox. Gerrit Cole has come back. They've invented pitchers. What is their secret sauce? What is their magic, and how close are other teams to figuring out how they're remaking pitchers?
Oh, no, they've been the smartest outfit out there, you know, for the past 5 years, and it's they've continued to evolve and accelerate, you know, their own path in getting smarter. I think what they're doing now in optimizing the pitcher-batter matchup, they are ahead of everybody else, and I don't think that's what they were looking to do 5 years ago, but they keep pushing and keep looking for the next competitive advantage, and that's what they found. And they are ahead of it right now. And it, you know, other teams will catch up. They see it. The Dodgers are trying to replicate it. But they're just a little bit ahead. And, yes, they went out and got Gerrit Cole. And they went out and paid for Justin Verlander. You know, so all of these things have to happen. But it's not an accident. You're right. This is not something, well, they're just getting lucky. And, oh, Verlander is Verlander. He was always this good. No, they're definitely optimizing even the excellent assets that they've acquired.
As we let you go, we talked to Joe Sheehan yesterday, and he speculated that Farhan Zaidi and the Giants would be those who would break the dam when it comes to what's going to be an earlier trade market, especially for high-leverage bullpen arms, potential starters right there. Do you agree? How close do you think we are for the market to open up a little bit?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think Joe could be right. They're in a tough spot. I mean, that's one of the toughest GM jobs that's out there. And I think if you have, it's difficult to pull the plug on all of that, and they needed someone new to ride into town to do it. So I think it's very possible. It's a matter of what are the conversations like between the new regime and, you know, again, I have tremendous respect for Farhan and between his conversations and ownership and how to live in the day to day. That's what it comes down to. Because, you know, again, it's easy to be the ruthless GM from the background, which I like to do all the time, which everybody does now, right? I mean, years ago it was different. Now it's the norm. But I recognize it's different when you're like, wait a second, you know, each night we come out here and we have a ball game and we have fans and they like to see these players. What do we do? So it's still difficult to do in the real world.
Brian, great stuff. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care.
That is Brian Kenny of MLB Network. If you're one of the first 21,000 tomorrow night, come on out to Wrigley Field and get yourself an MLB Network tote bag. The segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure still or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. When we come back, you might win $1,000 in cash. I've got the keyword here. You'll have it next on The Score. Thanks to Mike Florio, Joe Ostrowski, and Brian Kenny for being our guests today. Brian Gerch had the video feed, Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, the producers. Joe Ostrowski also had the updates. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the input, the texting and calling and all that. Tomorrow, Ian Rappaport and former Bear Thomas Jones. Right now, it is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash. On The Score, this hour's keyword is yield. Text yield to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is Yield to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Lawrence Holmes joins us next on The Score.
I love humans. I think that we're exceptional.
Those gypsum selenite sticks should be here any time.
I thought they were rocks. I thought they were magic rocks.
They are magic rocks to clean your computer and your underpants.
Perfect.
Lawrence Holmes is here, and he is ready to go with 2 hours of Rock'em Sock'em Radio. What's happening, man?
Yeah, I am looking forward to Rock'em Sock'em Radio today.
Roundtable today.
Yeah, we're going to do a little Cubs roundtable at 1 o'clock. It's going to be fun. Evan Altman's going to be here. Sahadev Sharma is going to be here. Tony Andracki is going to be here. So we're going to have a lot of Cubs stuff on the show today.
We caught one of the tweets from Tony Andracki early in the show. Jay passed it along to us. It's that Cubs bullpen number over the last week or so, that 25 innings pitched, the 5.04 ERA, the lower than 5.5 Ks per nine. They've been winning, but they've been winning a little bit lucky, which is fine because they've got the talent to back it up. When you look back, you know, when this, we get a month, 2 months from now, just remember this stretch, this 10-day stretch was a little bit more lucky than just Javi coming in with a walk-off on one pitch.
I heard Zach this morning on Mully and Haw, and he was talking about how many walk-offs the Cubs have had.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, like, he was saying, look, it's a sign of something good. And I was sitting there going, is it? I mean, yes, guys are coming through at the end, but until then, the Cubs were, what, 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position?
Correct.
So, yeah.
That series against the Milwaukee wasn't good with runners in scoring position. The series against the Marlins 2 weeks ago wasn't good with runners in scoring position.
And you had that first night against the Nats where things worked out really well.
Just the clubbing.
And then after that, it got clunky. Like, the rest of it got clunky. But this is what happens in baseball.
Of course.
Where you have these stretches of games where it isn't pretty, but you're getting the wins. And that's the most important thing. I do like the moment, though. I like the moment of... And I joked on Twitter last night, hey, Javi, go grab a bat. We just need a fly ball. Okay, well, how about this? How about I just take all the drama out of, like, a sack fly situation, and I'll just line one, and then I don't really have to run, and then we could all just go home happy.
Well, that's the pitch.
That sounds great.
That's the pitch you can't throw to him, though.
No!
That's the other thing is, you know, you want to get him out and away with something off speed. That's where you throw that. What you can't do is throw him the cement mixer that's an inch or two off the plate that's perfect to go to the other. That's what he's looking for. That's
what
he's
been looking for all year is him going. I think he still has the most opposite field hits of anyone in baseball this year.
I'd just like to know actually how hurt he is. I could rest easier if he wasn't playing tough guy here. I'm fine. And again, not in the lineup. And then you just wonder.
I felt better that he did come and hit. Because it means it's at least one day less likely that he goes on IL. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, they won't retroactively.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know what? So I was sitting there going, are they going to use him? Because throughout the game, there were spots where Joe could have gone to him. And I'm glad that he saved him for the ultimate experience of you needing him to go out there and try and win you a game instead of putting him in the sixth inning. But it gave me a little bit of solace to see him be used to know that, well, at least he has his spikes on. At least he's actually in the dugout with spikes on and not sitting there in tennies.
Did you see Harper troll the right field bleacher fans?
No, what did he do?
Oh, that's great.
Final out of the inning, he catches a fly ball. And he turns around, he does a little drop step, you know, turns around, throw it into the seats before he runs in. And all the fans stand up, and he throws it all the way over their heads and onto the
I didn't realize that that's where he had thrown
into the empty rooftop seats.
That's outstanding.
He's like, here you go. Hey, everybody,
here you go, Cub fans.
Oh, go get that.
Have fun going to get that.
That instance and then two plays already in this series reminded me of something that I'd kind of forgotten about Bryce Harper because everybody's so obsessed.
Throw the hell out of it.
Oh, my God, can he throw? That's an incredible arm from right field. And it kind of... You know, you kind of forget when you look at the struggles he's had and everybody talking about $320 million for a two-something hitter, blah, 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 all this real easy stuff to lob it at Harper and the Phillies and everything. They're a pretty damn good ball club. And if he comes around anytime soon, I mean, that division feels a lot like a Phillies division.
So you had the opposite thoughts from my Daniel Descalso thoughts.
Which are?
Can't throw.
You got a couple guys that don't throw very well in their infield.
I mean, that's where you play the guy in the infield who can't throw, as far as the you know, other than first base. But man, I understand it wasn't a terrific toss. It was kind of a fumbled toss, had a little hump back to it, but get it over there. Come on.
It's a problem
for
them.
The turn was quick enough. It was in his hand quick enough. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Rizzo, we talked about it earlier this week. Rizzo scoops saves a lot for that squad. I mean, they just do. To say nothing of, you know, accuracy or arm strength or whatever. I mean, that guy picking as many as he does out of the dirt, that saves a bunch.
That's why I struggle with the defensive metrics on first base. Like because I think that Anthony Rizzo is a really good first baseman. And I know that people don't value the position necessarily.
True.
But I do feel like he is saving you runs and saving you pitches.
I agree.
Because he can pick it.
I think he gets even deeper too. Because if you look at his, he doesn't necessarily always use the best footwork to get him back to first base. And a lot of people will look at it and go, how good can he be if he can't organize himself back to the bag? When really it's his athleticism. He gets back any way he can, then makes you that pick. So it's just kind of this weird knife edge with him. There are a lot of like staunch Anthony Rizzo's not a great first base guys. And I can't find myself there. I just think he's pretty damn good.
You know the plays when you see him too. And it isn't just picking throws to first base for outs. It's a pickoff throw that might be off a little bit that he's still able to snag. And he positions himself well in holding runners on. And that is a significant skill set. If you're pulling a guy 6 inches closer to the bag than he would otherwise be, that can make that could result in a Javier Baez spectacular tag. And you don't give the credit to the job the first baseman is doing to make sure that guy is just a tiny bit closer.
And sometimes it's as simple as I'm going to change how my feet are situated to make this catch. Yeah. I'm going to do that. Or I know that this throw is going to take me to a place where I might be in the way of the runner and I have to figure out a way to catch that ball and get my lean right so that I don't get run over.
And crashing down on the bunt play, and that's what he does.
He's incredible at
that.
He
dares you to take his teeth out, and it's relentless, the pressure that puts on a batter, knowing he's coming steamrolling down like a linebacker.
Really glad the Cubs don't have Michael Franco at third putting Rizzo in harm's way. How many times this series? I mean,
yeah,
I get it.
Sucks.
He's getting to it, and he's picking up the baseball, even if he's got to pull it out of his pants. But he's going to get somebody killed.
I mean, he's there to hit.
He's going to get somebody killed, Lawrence.
He is. And all of us have had that teammate that you know is like, dude, can you just, like, right here. Like, this is the strike zone. Throw it here. And they don't. They throw it here and here and over there.
And be my favorite corner, the National League dream corner infielders right now to watch have happen, would be Michael Franco at third.
And Josh Bell.
And Josh Bell at first.
Big old Josh Bell.
Just watch it all happen.
He's so bad over there.
Hot garbage.
They're like, hey,
hell of a hitter.
You can hit, Josh. So listen, we're a National League team. So you go play first
over
base.
Over there.
While that 6'5", 250, you go stand over there and
let
do that.
Let it hit you for that matter.
Yeah.
Just let it hit you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So what else you guys been doing today? Anything fun?
Bears a lot fun. We had Bears list. We were revisiting 2 minutes of gold from Les's show where the aliens come out to play with the other aliens, apparently.
About what?
The robots. Bears list? Robots taking
robots
their jobs. That's
and,
that was
and
the issue.
Magic rocks that fix your computer. That Les's show is the equivalent of the post office in Men in Black 2.
It's got a little bit of that, mixed in, I would say, mixed in with Art Bell.
Maybe. Oh, a little,
right. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. If you put Art Bell in the copying machine in the post office and Men in Black 2, that's the radio version of that. I know you have giant pulsating baseball brain power coming in for these microphones, so we're going to get out of your way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.